Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John 14. We're going to go over verse 25 and 26. Jesus speaking here, it says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you, to your remembrance, all that I said to you." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day that we could gather here today and we could meet around your table. Lord, we thank you for your Helper, for your Spirit. Father, please help us as we study now and as we learn more about you. And Lord, help us to be good examples. And Father, help us to have open and honest hearts. We thank you for Jesus in his name. Amen. So we went over some of this a few weeks ago when we were talking about in verse 16 and 17, we were talking about the Helper and the Spirit of Truth and who Jesus is and who the Father is and who the Holy Spirit is. And we're gonna touch over the next couple weeks here, at least over verses 25 and 26. We're talking about the Helper, and Jesus, because Jesus says here is because the disciples are realizing and they've heard it a few times, and it's getting close to the time where Jesus is going to depart from them. He's going to be crucified here in a little bit. And so they're troubled. And we see that as we continue going through into chapter 15 and 16 as well, as they're troubled by it and they're discouraged. But he reminds them, he says, I've spoken these things while abiding with you. And he references and he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to come after he leaves. He's going to come and he's going to teach you and bring remembrance the things that he has taught them. So first off, let's go back real fast to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and we want to kind of point out, and we've kind of went over this a few times, but I think it's a good reminder for us to remind ourselves, when did the Holy Spirit come and what role, when did he come and the role he plays now for us as Christians? And in verse 37 of John chapter 7, it says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit here, so as we go through the scripture, as we'll notice that there are a few different times, quite a few different names given to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is one of them here. And so he said the Spirit, who he spoke about here, was not yet given until after Jesus was glorified. And Jesus wasn't glorified until after he had died, was buried, and was resurrected, and ascended into heaven. And so the Spirit was not yet given to Abraham like he is to us. He wasn't given to David like he is given to us. He is not given to any Old Testament great like we have the benefit of as Christians now. So let's turn ahead back to John chapter 14. So our questions then can be, we know that the Spirit has a different role now, or I shouldn't say a different role. That's not the right words, but he is more involved or more involved with his people under the new covenant than he was under the old covenant. Now, that's by God's design there. God chose it that way, and God made the plan that way because he was the Spirit was designed and set apart for a particular people. Now, there's people of God in the Old Testament, yes, but the church or the bride of Christ, the one that God is seeking, is fulfilled within the church. So in verse 16, we're going to read it in John chapter 14, and some questions we can have. Okay, so how is the Spirit the Helper, and how does he help? How does he help us? And how does he teach us and bring to remembrance the things that he says in verse 26 there? So we see in verse 16, it says, it uses the word helper as well as it does in verse 26. It says that I will ask in verse 16, the Father, and he will give you another helper, that is, that he may be with you forever. So the Greek word for helper there means one called alongside to help. It means comforter, means an advocate or an intercessor. Okay, it's one who is beside that counsels. Okay, so if you think of like you can think of it as a lawyer sense or as an advocate. He is an advocate of the person. He is a counselor. You know, the judge will say counselor a lot of times. What's your argument and what is the defendant's plea or whatever it is. So he's a counselor. He's a comforter. He's a helper. He's an advocate. If we go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to start in verse 6. It says, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And it goes on, talks about that he's going to be on the throne in verse 7 of his father David. Now, this is a common Christmas card verse where you're going to have, when at Christmas time, it's talking about Jesus. And so when we know that, then we know that this is talking about Christ, but it gives him a name there as well as Wonderful Counselor, as well as Mighty God, Eternal Father, and so on. But Wonderful Counselor there is that crossover from the Old Testament to the New Testament there, the one who walked the earth, the one who has humbled himself to take the form of a man, Jesus, was going to be that wonderful counselor. Now, it didn't mean that God didn't have counsel in the Old Testament. It didn't mean that God didn't help his people in the Old Testament or communicate with them or explain things to them, but to the extent that he does that for us, he did not do it to the extent for those under the old covenant as he did for us, as he does for us. And so he says he's a wonderful counselor there. He is the wonderful counselor, the one who went through it all. Let's turn ahead to Hebrews chapter 9. So as we're discovering or asking the question, what does the Holy Spirit do for us? And how does he help us? And how does he bring to remembrance the things that he had taught us before, and the case of the apostles here, that he taught them before and is going to bring to remembrance the things. How does this happen? We can get those through his names and some insight through his names. So in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 9, it says, how much more will the blood of Christ offered through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Now we see here as part of the Holy Spirit does, but what I want to focus on this verse here specifically is the name given to the Spirit. It says the eternal Spirit. Now when we talk about the Holy Spirit or when the religious world talks about the Holy Spirit, you have different forms of that a lot of times. Sometimes the Holy Spirit isn't even a person, and so it's almost the will of God, which would make it almost something that is created or something that is not eternal. The Scripture is telling us that the Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit. Okay, so that means that he has been there from eternity all the way to eternity. Turn to John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. Now we know that the Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit. And in John chapter 1 here, it says in verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so we see here that if we go down to verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see that the Word here is talking about Jesus, and he is saying the Word was with God and the Word was God. So the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus was from the beginning. The Spirit was also from the beginning. The Spirit there is the eternal Spirit. So when we see that of the names of the Holy Spirit, and we're saying, well, how is he going to help us or give us a little insight on that? We know that the Holy Spirit is the one that was there from the beginning. He's not one that simply was an afterthought or a created being like some people are going to try and maybe say, or just the power of God or the will of God or the purpose of God. So the Holy Spirit is the eternal, is the eternal Spirit, and he's been there from the beginning. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And we get this also in John chapter 14 as well. But we talk about the Word. We mentioned the Word in chapter 1. The Word was in the beginning. So in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and disclose to you what is to come." So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the eternal Spirit, the one that was there in the beginning, as it mentioned in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, it says here that the Spirit of truth, or the Word of God, the Spirit of truth is there from the beginning, and he is going to guide you into all the truth. So now the question would be some have tried to shield it to this, or to transition this to someone else, is that, well, this, Jesus is talking to the apostles here. He is not talking to us specifically. Okay, so let's go for a second there with that thought and see how it kind of pans out a little bit. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, this is not the only example you can probably use. This is the example that I thought of trying to convey this point here. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes here, who was not one of the ones who Jesus was speaking to in specifically in John chapter 16. Okay. In John chapter 16, you have your 12 original apostles. Judas at that time, probably whether he was still there or not, or probably maybe it's still the 11 at this time. But Jesus is talking to those. He is not talking to the apostle Paul specifically. So in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 16. And it says, "At my first offense," this is Paul talking here, "no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth." So the question that I would provide here then, or ask then, okay, so if this is specifically talking, if the Holy Spirit being the helper and the one who brings to remembrance those things in the past, or the one who teaches or guides in all the truth, if it's only for those he was talking to at the time, okay, how is Paul strengthened by the Lord? And how did the Lord stand by him? And how did the Lord rescue him out of the lion's mouth? Now, I'm not saying this as in to try and say this, that it didn't happen. What I am saying is that how does God accomplish that? See, people will like to ask an unanswerable, or that what they think is an unanswerable question. So if I ask you a question that you aren't able to answer, then that must mean that what I am saying about it is right, because you can't answer it and defend your argument. And that's the idea that people will have. And that doesn't technically or necessarily mean that you do not have the right answer. Just because you can't communicate what it's saying or can't communicate a reason why at that time doesn't mean that you didn't have the right answer. I think the youth kids at Bible Bowl kind of found that out a little bit because they answered a question and they couldn't remember where it was found, but they had the right answer, but they couldn't remember where it was found. And so that was actually found in two different spots in the same chapter. And it was written a little bit different way in one verse and a little different way in another. And it was conveying the same message. And so even though they didn't have the verse and how to say it, didn't mean they didn't have the right answer. And the judge after he realized that they did have the right answer. Okay. So my point is that just because you can ask somebody or if you get asked a question that you can't answer doesn't mean that you don't have the right answer or have the right thought. And so people to me have been like, okay, so how does the Holy Spirit help? How does he help you? How does he bring your remembrance of things in the past? How does he teach you things and guide you into all the truth? And so they're trying to ask an unanswerable question because in some ways, how does that happen? Well, maybe I can't say exactly how God does that. How does he remind me of things? How does he teach me things? And so the default is, you have to just know your scripture is what people will try and say if they're trying to argue in that. And then the argument could be, well, how does he bring remembrance then? If you have a bad memory or have a good memory, is that determine whether you can defend an argument or not? Or does the Holy Spirit help you in that? And we're going to touch on some of those next week. But by reading here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul says that the Lord stood with me, I mean, I can ask an unanswerable question too, or maybe not even an unanswerable question, that I can ask a question that would be difficult for someone who is opposing the Holy Spirit helping. How did the Lord stand with Paul there? How did he strengthen Paul? How did he rescue him out of the lion's mouth? Probably through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is sent to help us in the passages we can look at through that he strengthens us and helps us and guides us, probably the Holy Spirit was the one that was helping Paul and standing by Paul, and that's how the Lord stood by Paul. It wasn't just that, well, I'm doing the Lord's work, I guess I know that God's standing by me. The Holy Spirit was helping Paul there, and he stood with Paul. That is how the Lord stands with us and strengthens us and rescues us. Now, you can obviously take it too far, and that's where some people take it too far, where you know, let go of the steering wheel and the Holy Spirit drives for you. I mean, that takes it too far. And I understand where people do that. But we got to understand, we can't limit God, but God is not someone who just does everything for us either. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, notice some of the names that are given to the Holy Spirit here. And again, it might seem like there's a lot of loose ends this week, but we're going to continue to tie them together next week as well. But as we're talking about specifically the names, and we're talking about understanding what he does for us through his names, or maybe even understanding why he does these things, or how he can do these things through the names that are given to him, or that he gives himself, I should say. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you." So you see some names given to the Spirit here. It says, well, the Spirit obviously is one of the names in verse 9. It says the Spirit of God in verse 9 is a name given to the Spirit. So when we talk about the Spirit of truth or the Helper or the Holy Spirit, we are talking about the Spirit of God. Now we also see here in verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ. So the Spirit of Christ is also given as a name that the Holy Spirit gives himself. And in verse 10, it says, if Christ is in you, or Christ dwells in you. So then, if you go down in verse 11, it says, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. So you have the Spirit's names as a Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ or Christ in you. So you have the Holy Spirit being the one who was in the flesh, who had humbled himself in the flesh and went through all that he went through. Had the compassion, had the feelings that he went through, that the persecution he went through. But you also have the Spirit, it says here, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit is also the one who raised Christ from the dead. So you have both the one who went through all the things and the one who counseled and helped the one who went through all the things. If you go back to John chapter 14, and we went through this a few weeks ago when we talked about this, we went through those two verses. But notice how Jesus talking here, the words that he uses in verse 16 and 17, we already read verse 16, how he's the helper, that he'll be with you forever. And in verse 17, it says, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. So just affirming the point that we're making here is that the Holy Spirit is the one who was abiding with them at that time. Well, he wasn't indwelling them, but he was in the flesh through Christ talking and teaching them. But there was going to come a time that he was going to be in them or indwell them, which was after he was glorified, after Jesus was glorified, and the Holy Spirit indwells the Christians. So the Spirit who went through everything, who went through the suffering, went through the persecution, went through the trials of life, even that one, Jesus, there's many times in the Scripture, if you read through the Gospels, they'll say he felt compassion for them. He wanted to take them like a hen takes her chicks and brings them in and comforts them or protects them. So I'm losing the word here. He was the example of that and showed us that he had that character while he was in the flesh. But he also is the one who helped Jesus. So he's the one who went through it all, but he's the one who helped through it all as well. He had compassion when he was on earth, and he has compassion now. He is the eternal Spirit. He was there from the beginning, and he wants to teach and he wants to help us. Now, I know we didn't tie up everything. When we're talking about how he helps us, how he teaches us, how he brings to remembrance the things of the past or things that we've learned, understanding his names and understanding that he went through that and was that for Jesus, but he also went through that, and understanding that, so I know that's complicated. But the compassion that he has and the desire to help, it's not just for an 11 people that he is talking to here. It's extending to us as well. Now again, people take it to extremes. We don't let go of the steering wheel and have the Holy Spirit drive for us. Or we don't just not take care of ourselves. Well, the Holy Spirit's gonna zap me healthy or whatever. That's not what he does. But spiritually, him helping and teaching and helping us, as we're going to look more into next week, he wants to do that. He has done that, and he desires to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit who indwells us. We thank you for your character. We thank you for your compassion. Father, we thank you for your desire to help us to guide us into all truth. Father, again, help us as we continue to study your word, and please continue to guide us in those things. And we thank you again for Jesus, in his name. Amen.